Yes, I was white. That was what Ben did to me.
No, that wasn't me. Yeah, Jim Sturgis, I think he did a good job. He represented you well. But,
yeah, that's like what I call real Hollywood magic, is how you turn an average-looking Asian-American male into a dashing British white guy. Yeah. You guys have questions? Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, there's no physical violence. Like, that's all made up. That's all Hollywood stuff, because it's not illegal. If they did that, they would get sued. But they definitely, like, look for car counters, and they kick them out because they have the right to refuse service to anyone they want. So they're allowed to kick them out. So a lot of those scenes where they're, like, watching from the cameras, those are pretty dead on. That definitely happens. Yeah. Yeah, I was the inspiration for the Jim Sturgis character, the guy that tried to go to medical school and was white. That joke gets a lot of mileage, so I'll probably say it like 15 more times. I didn't end up applying to medical school. So people always ask me how much of the book was true, how much of the movie was true. So Ben and I dispute how much of the book was true. I say it was 75% true. He says it's like 95%
true. Right.
And since it was my life, I should probably know. But the movie's only like 25% true. I mean, there's so much of the stuff that's made up. Like my dad, like when I was going to see we went to go see the premiere of the movie in Las Vegas, and I brought my parents out to see it. And as I was going into the movie, I was like, "Dad, I've got two pieces of bad news for you." And he's like, "Well, what are they?" I'm like, "In the movie, you're dead and I'm white." So. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah. Sorry? What 25% is true? I mean, just like everything they do in the casinos is true. And like the transformation that happens to like the Jim Sturgis character, where like in Vegas he's cool, like Ben always goes, "Yeah, you're so much cooler in Vegas."
Right. I mean, you go to Vegas with Jeff and it's a very different experience. Everyone knows him. He's throwing $100 bills around. And one of the reasons I got into the book in the first place is when I met Jeff and his friends, they always had tons of $100 bills. And the thing is, in Boston, you never see $100 bills anywhere, right? But in Vegas, they come out of the ATM machines. And so these guys walk around, they would count money in inches and all that stuff. I think the, I think the...
That's a good line.
Yeah, that stuff was all very realistic. I think the airport scene was very realistic, and the whole donkey boy thing. And just the everything in Vegas was very real. Overall, I think, you know, we argue about this all the time, but a lot of those scenes were... if not Jeff's experience, were other counters' experiences. overall, I think it was pretty close. You know, all the chase scenes at the end is very Hollywood, I think.
It's like we expect Scooby-Doo to come running
right,
out.
Scooby-Doo right, Scooby-Doo to come out. But, you know, but the whole sort of interaction between the team and the signals, all of the words they were using was straight from Jeff. All of the numbers and everything like that. And all the blackjack was very real, I think.
And some of the training stuff was true. Although, like, when they're quizzing him about, like, memorizing 15 versus paycheck, it's like, you're an MIT student.
You can
memorize the, like, 20 words with numbers. You don't need to be quizzed.
Right.
Yeah. Other questions? Yeah.
Was the last part reading?
No. I mean, that's... So, like, people... the question was the last part real? Like, with the Harvard... you know, dude in the medical school and whatnot. Like, one of the biggest fabrications in general, I think, is sort of the Mickey Rosa or the Mickey character, because, I mean, I think that one of the issues with him is that, you know, he's made out to be this villain. In reality, we didn't really have a villain. I mean, there was, like, I know that the character in the book is a combination of a few people.
The character in the book is a combination of a couple people who sort of trained the team, who came from the earlier years.
Right.
And they are real people, actually, although a lot of people have come forward to say they were Mickey Rosa. But there were actually two people who were Mickey Rosa. But they weren't. You wouldn't say that they were bad guys. But I will say, from...
Well, you would, because you wrote
right.
Were,
well,
but.
What there really was there definitely was tension in the team, and the team did split apart, and the Fisher character did represent someone real and a real falling apart between you and your friends.
Yeah, so that, I think that happened. That happened, like, that we had a big fight, and everyone kind of... Fisher and I used to be best friends, and then, you know, had a big falling out over blackjack, and... You know, that part was true. I mean, a lot of it's rooted in truth, but it's just like anything else. I mean, nobody really wants to see the documentary of my life, so it's like the it's a movie. You know? Yeah. So the question was, did we get caught? And I mean, everybody gets caught eventually when you're card counting. Like, nobody plays forever because it's not like a very difficult to detect thing if you know what you're looking for. Like, the idea that, like, Lawrence Fishburne's character just sits there and figures out what they're doing, that's dead on. I mean, those people know what to look for, and they'll figure it out eventually. And when they do, they kick you out of their casinos. They don't let you play blackjack anymore. Like, I can't play blackjack at pretty much any casino.
No, actually, when I remember when we shot the movie 21, we were shooting in Vegas, and Jeff was on set.
You guys all saw my great scene, right?
He had his acting, and but also, you know, consultants on the film. And he wasn't allowed, like, within 20 feet of a blackjack table. And there were security there always and sort of watching. And, I mean, they take it really seriously, which is, it's funny to watch it happen, but... You know, when you get caught, usually they just tell you to leave or ask you to leave, but they did backroom people, which is essentially they bring you into a room and try and scare you into not ever coming back. Yeah. And then they try and make you sign something called the Trespass Act, which means if you return to a casino, you would be trespassing, things like that. You've been backroomed, I'm sure.
I've never been backroomed, because it's like, they wouldn't want to mess with me.
Right, because you're intimidating character.
But, like, no, literally, like, anytime that I got in a situation that I get backroomed, I basically just, like, ran away. Because, like, getting backroomed is, like, the worst. You're in, like, this dark room, and they, like, try to intimidate you, and they try to make you sign something that says that if you ever go back there, you're trespassing, and they can arrest you. So, other questions? Yeah.
Yeah, so how closely did we work with the screenwriter? So there were multiple, but the one who finally did it, Jeff worked, you know, he followed you around or whatever, hung out with
you.
Well,
the first screenwriter was a guy by the name of Peter Steinfeld, and he spent a lot of time with us. He came out to Boston and spent, like, a weekend with us, and then we actually took him to Vegas with us, and we spent a weekend with him. And he wrote this screenplay that was, it was pretty awesome, and it was true to life, and it was very true to, like, what actually happened. And then, of course, Hollywood didn't really want to make that film, so they hired a different screenwriter that kind of hacked it up and made it more resonate more with mainstream America, if you read between the lines. And then they made that movie, and that's what you saw. So we didn't work at all with the screenwriter whose script actually got made. Yeah, with Alan. We didn't work with him at all.
But, you know, Jeff was on set for most of it.
And we worked, during the filming, actually, the director, Robert Luketic, would, you know, ask us for things, and they were awesome. Like, the producers, Dana Brunetti and Mike DeLuca, were great because they actually, like, worked really hard to get a bunch of us in, like, little parts in the movie. And, you know, obviously that was the highlight of my life, was, like, being an actor in that movie. And was, you know, I still have a SAG car and all this kind of stuff. And nobody ever remembers that I was actually in the movie, but that's all right. So, back there. What do I do now? Great that you asked, actually. I started a company recently. I'm an entrepreneur. I started a bunch of different companies. My last company I sold to Yahoo, and now I started a company called Tenxer, T-E-N-X-E-R, and we're trying to basically create ways to make people more productive at their jobs. So if any of you guys are course 6 and are looking for jobs, you should go to our website, 10xer.com, and send me an email. We're hiring summer internships and full-time. But it's a pretty cool company. It's out in San Francisco, and we're backed by big VCs in Silicon Valley. Other questions? Yeah. You know, the thing is, I've probably seen this movie, like, more times than I care to ever see it. So, like, seeing myself is not surreal. But during the whole process, like, Ben and I mean, the whole thing was surreal. Like, we had some incredible experiences. Like, we premiered this movie once at South by Southwest, and you know, we're watching it at South by Southwest Film Festival, and then the next night we got invited to the screening of Harold and Kumar 2. So we got to hang out with like Neil Patrick Harris and John Cho and Cal Penn, and for people like us, that was pretty cool. And then, I mean, what are the other surreal experiences? Just like, and I mean, Ben's second movie won an Oscar. So he was like on the stage or on, at the Oscars and on the stage when they won. You know, so that's surreal. I mean, the ride is, the whole ride has been pretty surreal, but I imagine for you it's been even more so.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Social Network was a different type of movie, I guess, in a lot of ways. But, I mean, both experiences were fun for different reasons. This movie, you know, we shot most of it in Boston, so everyone was just hanging out. I live in the Back Bay, and all we shot, you know, 70% of the movie a block from where I live, so that was very surreal, and all the actors were in my apartment playing Wii in between shots. And it was cool. I remember when we shot it in Vegas also, like, Jeff is extremely still connected in Vegas, and we would take, well, he would take the actors out, and it got to the point where the director actually had to basically kick you off the set because Jim and Kate and everybody were showing up so hungover every morning to the thing. But I mean, it was extremely a wild experience watching a lot of it turn into a movie, and then we've seen it a lot of times. We basically, Jeff went on the press tour. And I went on some of it, and so, you know, I was just seeing it in different cities all over the place, and it's a crazy thing. I mean, Hollywood is awesome if you don't have to live there, so it's an amazing ride, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, when I watch the movie, and there's, like, some scenes that really resonate with me, that really feel like what it was like to be there, I guess that part of it's surreal, and sometimes it makes me miss those blackjack days. I mean, and then the other experience that Ben's alluding to was, like, the studio flew me and Jim Sturgis around in a private jet to like 8 different cities to do promotions. And in every city, we would have like a corner suite at the nicest hotel, and we'd have our own dedicated Escalade that would drive us around to wherever we wanted. And it was awesome. Like, I could walk downstairs and I could make the Escalade drive me to go get a slice of pizza, which was awesome. So, back there. You know, I guess, I mean, like, the character, the Choi character, once told me, I asked him, like, you know, do you know what's going on with the blackjack teams right now? And this is maybe, like, 3 or 4 years after the movie came out. He was like, well, as long as blackjack's beatable, there'll be teams out there trying to beat it. So I think there are some teams. It's a lot harder now than it used to be. But I think there are teams out there still
playing.
There's
definitely teams. I get calls all the time from people who are doing things and want me to write about it.
You guys sell us. Are there teams? Yeah, you guys are MIT students. We have no idea.
But I do know there's a couple big scale teams actually still working. Different games, but also blackjack, and making a lot of money still.
Yeah. So the team won between $3 to $5 million, and like I probably won like, I don't know, $2 million or something like that. But you don't get to keep it all. It's split amongst all the people that played. Just because I was the one that was making a lot of the big bets, you still split a lot of the money. So yeah, I thought there was one more question.
Sure.
Yeah. The Ben character is me, so no, I didn't. The question was whether I ever went to med school. So I literally had like my applications out, and I just decided I didn't want to go to medical school. So I never ended up going. I did want to go at one point, but I decided not to.
Sure.
Yeah, there was
a girl
on the team.
There were a couple girls on the team, and the Kate Bosworth character is based on a friend of mine who introduced me to Jeff.
She was a Harvard student.
She was a Harvard student.
Ooh.
And and I didn't know she was on the team.
Ben also
went
to Harvard.
I did.
Boo.
I was so I exploited MIT kids in my first book, so just to help out. But there were girls on the team, there were couples on the team whose relationships ended up falling apart over the course of the
It was a pretty stressful thing, and definitely there were like 2 different couples that were on the team that both got divorces during the time they were on the team. So, yeah.
How are your best and worst nights?
I mean, like, our best nights, you mean playing blackjack? Okay, that was a joke. So our best nights, we won probably like, okay, so our best weekend ever, we won $450,000. Our worst weekend ever, we probably lost $200,000. There's like one, I lost $100,000 in two hands of blackjack. So the one thing that annoys me and will always annoy me about that movie is the scene where he loses control and just starts gambling and loses all that money, because that would never, ever, ever happen. We were so disciplined. We would lose, but we'd lose because we got unlucky. I mean, you guys all know stats. You only have like a 2% advantage. So if there's variance, you could lose, you know. But the best weekend ever, and most people like this story, so I'll tell it. We won $450,000, and we had, at the end of the weekend, so all that money, we literally did like carry in cash and chips, and we did hide in really obscure places, not necessarily in our ceiling, but we would hide in strange places. And at the end of the weekend, it was just me and my buddy Wes, and we're the last two in the city, in Las Vegas. We'd had all the money that we'd brought out there and all the money we won in a ratty duffel bag, and we're sitting at the pool at the Mirage. And we're sitting there, and I turn to Wes, because it's like 120 degrees in Vegas, and I'm so hot. I'm like, let's just go for a swim in the pool. Do you think we can just leave this bag here? And he goes, well, how much is in there? And I'm like, well, it's the money we won, $450,000, and the money we brought out here, $540,000, so it's about $990,000. And I said, do you think we can just leave it here? And he goes, I don't see why not. It's not like it's $1 million. So. We didn't really leave the bag there, though. Any more questions? Yeah, right there in the red. I mean, you know, it depends. Some of them are awesome. Some of them are weird. Some of, like, Lawrence Fishburne was great. Like, there was one night towards the end of the filming of the movie that Ben, myself, and Lawrence all just went out. He's down to earth, great, gave us his cell phone number, told us anytime we want to go to New York and hang out, just like shoot him a text. You know, Kevin Spacey was great. When my dad was on set, Kevin took a lot of time to like sit down and talk to him about, like, you know, making movies and stuff like that. And then others are kind of aloof. But I mean, do you have any are any of them still friends of yours?
I mean, I work with Kev. I've worked with Spacey on a lot of projects, and he produced a Social Network as well. And I have a current movie in production that he's producing as well. So I've worked with him a long time, and he's great. He's smart, and he reads, which is, you know, not all actors actually read a whole book. But overall, you know, we had a great experience with 21. Everyone was great. Josh Gad, the funny kind of heavy kid in the movie, went on and starred in The Book of Mormon on Broadway, and now has two sitcoms that he's going to be starring in, so he's doing fantastic. We got to know them really well, so it was...
Wasn't Jonah Hill?
Wasn't Jonah Hill. Yeah, it looks like Jonah. But no, yeah. It's an interesting world, that's for sure.
Take a couple more.
Sure.
Yeah. So they were mostly actually alums. There were they actually were all alums. There was no professor. There was only like people that they were like 15 to 20 years older than us, had card counted, done their whole thing, but could no longer play in casinos. So they literally would just invest in us and teach us, and then we'd go play. But eventually we made so much money that we didn't need their money anymore, so we did kick them out. Like, that was the whole idea of what, you know, what happened to Mickey in that movie. Yeah. It was, so I don't remember the numbers, but I think it was building 4. So it's like the second to last corridor on the right when you're coming down the infinite corridor this way. Is that building 4? Yeah, and it was like one of the rooms halfway down on the left is the one we'd most commonly meet at. And that scene, actually, where the girl walks in and asks if that's a chemistry review, that did actually happen. We were, like, sitting there playing, and this poor girl walks in, and she's like, chemistry review? And I think we all, like, laughed at her, and she, like, ran away. So that did actually happen. Yeah. Yeah. So the question was whether I was approached to be part of the team or the team looked for me. Basically, my roommates at the time started playing, and they were disappearing every summer, every weekend. And I'm like, where are you guys going? And they're like, we're going to Vegas. And I was like, well, I want to go. And they're like, well, you got to learn the system. So I kind of, they kind of knew that they wanted me to play. But when I started playing, it had nothing to do with the money. I just wanted to go to Vegas with my buddies. And eventually I realized how much money you could make off it, so I kind of got into it at that point. Yeah. Well, okay, there's a lot of stuff that isn't true, right? One, most of this happened after MIT. It didn't really all happen in 1 year, my senior year. The second thing is it happened over, for me, I played 7 years. So I was actually counting it up the other day. I've probably been to Vegas over 200 times in my life. All right, because now I go do a lot of public speaking and corporate events, and I do all of them in Vegas. So I've been to Vegas a lot. I have no idea how many times did I go for the blackjack team, probably in the order of 70 times, 60 times, something like that. It's a lot of Vegas. Yeah. Okay, first of all, I'm old. I graduated in 1994. What? It's pretty old. Sorry?
Would you coach a team?
Would I ever coach my own team? I mean, we did for a while. We coached our own team. We, like, would I ever just, like, start and bankroll kids? No, I probably never would do that. The thing about it is there's easier ways to make a living. Like, I work in startups now, and, like, a startup, if you hit it, can make a lot more money than you can with blackjack. So, I mean, that's, like, the big thing, like, coming back here, one of the things I've been doing is working a lot with the Entrepreneur Center and the startup labs and trying to understand, like, how we get more MIT people to think entrepreneurial rather than going to work at Microsoft. So, yeah. Yeah, do you have a question? What's pretty interesting is that you guys know that the guy that's the professor of the robotics thing is an MIT, was an MIT alum. His name's Colin Angle, and he's the guy that started a company called IS Robotics, which became iRobot, which does the Roomba. And so that whole scene is kind of based off of, what do you guys call it now, 2007? Or it used to be called 270 when I was here, and it's the mechanical engineering contest. So that whole thing is loosely based on that. Yeah. Yeah. I think we've both been interviewed on NPR. Humble brag. No, I would never work for a casino. It's like working for the bad guys. It'd be like going to play baseball for the Yankees or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. I wouldn't have had all the successes that I've had in my life if this, you know, if Ben hadn't chosen to exploit. I mean, the whole...
exploit.
Yeah. The whole funny thing, right, is that, like, literally... When Ben and I decided to do this book, we were, like, sitting in a bar, and we're like, this is never going to amount to anything. Right. I think our first, like, legal agreement was, like, on a napkin or something like that. Like, we didn't think this would turn into anything, this whole experience.
I mean, I was writing fiction. I used to write for the X-Files television show, if you remember the X-Files. And I wrote these trashy thrillers that you know, really bad TV movies and things. And after I heard this story, I was like, this is awesome. And I remember I wrote a book proposal, and my agent was like, you know, nobody's going to really care about a bunch of geeky guys playing cards. And I sent it to a publisher, and I sold it for this tiny deal. And the first printing was 23,000 copies, I think, or even less than that.
Oh, it was
like 12,000. It was 12,000 copies.
I think it was even less than that.
And then,
no,
I'm
serious.
It was a tiny little book, yeah. And then it got on the Today Show, and that kind of exploded it. And then it was like that one sentence, six MIT kids who beat Vegas for millions, was like the perfect last second of every news show. So all the news shows would be like, and then there's this group of MIT kids who beat Vegas. And it just went and went and went and went. So when we first sat down, there was no like, we're thinking about some big movie or we're thinking about all that kind of stuff. It was really, Jeff had done something crazy and wanted to tell me this story.
Halfway into you writing the book, I actually called Ben and I'm like, hey, I'm having second thoughts. I don't really want to write this book. And he's like, sorry, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
It's too late.
He tried to get out of it like right before the book came out.
Because I had no idea how it was going to turn out. Right. And I mean, I'd read most of Ben's books and they weren't very good. So I was like worried that they weren't, it wasn't going to turn out very good.
Right, right. And I did, you know, part of the reason that he was white was that he had actually asked me to disguise his character because he didn't want to be known as the blackjack guy. So I made it Kevin Lewis, which was one of your fake names, I think.
No,
sort of.
I mean, this is revisionist.
And I made his ethnicity sort of unknown, if you read the book. That was all because you wanted to be unknown. And then, of course, when it turned into a movie, you wanted to be known.
Right.
So came something different. But, I mean, we never really thought this would be kind of this life-changing experience. And I think for both of us, it really was. Certainly for me and for you, yeah, it was one of those moments where something just happens.
Yeah, question up there.
So, I mean, to follow up on that, what's kind of the relationship with the reaction of the other team members?
Huh, that's a good question.
Well, I will say, in the beginning, there were team members who did not want this to happen and were very upset about it. And then as it got closer, yeah, there were some problems. Most of them were kind of on board.
I think that in the large part, initially, people just didn't care. They kind of ignored us on this. And I wanted Ben to talk to as many of my teammates as possible. Like, for the most part, they just blew Ben off because they didn't think this was going to amount to anything. And then, obviously, when it became successful, everyone was coming out of the woodwork and being like, oh, yeah, I was on the MIT team. Oh, yeah, that character's based on me and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think in general, you know, the reality of it is that, like, the movie, like, I get way too much credit for being, like, the inspiration for the movie. The MIT Blackjack team has been around. There's lots of people that have been part of it. The story could have been written. Really, I mean, as much crap as I give Ben, he deserves, like, a ton of credit for turning that whole story into a book and into a narrative and into something that people actually cared about and wanted to. So, I mean, like, your question about, like, what do other people say? I mean, they say some stuff about, you know, this didn't happen or this wasn't true, and they make a big deal out of it, but it's just so stupid at the end of the day. It's like Ben wrote a story basically about the MIT Blackjack team and compiled composite characters. And
I mean, the crazy thing was when Jeff told me the story, so I looked into, so the team had been going on for about 20 years. So there had been different MIT teams that had trained the next team, and this had been going on, you know, since the 70s. And I looked into it, and no one had ever written anything about it. And it blew my mind, because literally there was one article in the Hartford Courant, and that was the only thing that had ever been written about MIT Blackjack team, which had gone on for 2 decades. So I was like, this is going to be an awesome story. And I remember that. And there were people that were like, oh, you know, no one's going to care. And then when it came out, everyone came out of the woodworks and was like, oh, it should have been this story, it should have been that story. But I put together as many of the real stories as I could. And I think the key was to create a narrative around, you know, a timeline that was readable. So that's where, you know, it went.
Sorry, there are 2 questions. What his first one was, how do we meet?
Yeah, Jeff and I, we met from this girl. This girl who was the Kate Bosworth character was dating one of his best friends and was playing on the team. Married to him, and introduced me and said, you got to meet this guy. And I met Jeff, and he had tons of money. And I think there was like $250,000 in his laundry or something.
No, but you have to also tell the story. So my friend was like, oh, there's this guy, Ben Mezrich, and he's written a bunch of books, but it's really cool because I just go over and play video games with him all the time.
That's right.
And you call me nerdy all the time.
We play video games. Anyways, I just started hanging out with him, and we became friends just living here in Boston and put this together. And we would meet in his apartment, which he had bought with blackjack money in the South End. And that's kind of where it came from, yeah.
All right, we got one more question that someone else was asking something about.
Sure.
Yeah.
The story that Jeff told me. I mean, he really sat down and started to say, you know, we were beating blackjack, and you have to look at this book, Beat the Dealer, and we put together. And he just told me all about team play, and it was a lot of story after story after story. We spent a couple weeks basically sitting on a table and him just relaying story after story after story. It wasn't like there was one specific story, but the thing that really turned me on was the whole double life element, which I think the movie captured very well. Like, he was lying to everybody in his real life. When he was in Boston, he was an MIT student going to classes, and then on weekends, he was, you know, the big player in Vegas.
It's not true.
A little true, but it's, you were living a double life for...
There is a double life aspect to it, but you make it sound like I was, like, going to classes. Like, we've covered that most of it happened after
A lot
MIT.
Of it happened afterwards, but I love that whole idea of the sort of juxtaposition of the...
Well, the real juxtaposition happened, like, we would, like, be spending all this money and making all this money in Vegas, and then I would literally come back and land and, like, debate about whether to take the T for 75 cents back to the airport or take a cab. Like, that was the juxtaposition of life.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
One more over there.
Oh, we got a couple over here, too. A
couple there, yeah.
Sure.
What's that? No. I'm not doing that. You gotta talk like Jim Sturgis trying to speak with an American accent? I don't know what you mean. What's your question? Yeah, so that's, you know, when the book Bring Down the House came out, and I had told my parents like little bits and pieces about it, but you have to understand that like explaining to your parents that you were a card counter before 21 came out was like really hard because they had no idea what it was. They had no idea that you could even make money off of it. Now it would be a lot easier. They'd be like, oh, yeah, you're just like those dudes from the movie. But when the book Bring Down the House came out, a month before the book came out, Ben had given me a couple advanced copies. I handed a copy to my parents, and I was like, I know you've heard a lot about this whole MIT blackjack team, but this is the whole story, and read it. But keep in mind it's a book, so whatever you don't like was probably made up. So. All right. Any others?
Anything? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think that early on I was doing a lot of, early on in my entrepreneurial life, I was able to not really worry about paying myself a salary because then I could just live off my blackjack money and pursue my entrepreneurial stuff. That was like a much harder double life because I would come back and have to like work and like straight from Vegas, which is way harder than MIT. So, but all right, guys, thanks for
thank you all
out.
Very much.